Our Father, in the name of Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to fellowship on the written word and to fellowship with one another. And our Father, we ask that as we look into your word now, and every eye is open to see, every ear is open to hear, we receive the fullness of light and revelation and insight in all of this house. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father. We give you praise, for we know it's done, for in Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. Galatians chapter 6. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 6. Read from verse 15 of that chapter. Galatians 6:15. It says, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation. And as many as walk according to this rule, not that rule of the new creation, in which being neither Jew nor Gentile avails anything, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God." Hallelujah. So we've been looking at what exactly this statement means, right? The Israel of God. Hallelujah. In the context of missions and evangelism, which would be the responsibility, right? Okay, of being a seed of Abraham. Now, so far, in this teaching, we've examined God's missionary plan in the Old Testament through the life of Israel. Then in the four Gospels, through Jesus the Christ, Ebed Yahweh. Now we've seen the book of Acts, right? In this teaching, through the church, God's new Israel. Amen. So far, we've examined the message of the early church, and we've said that the message of the early church is consistent with that of the Old Testament. Remember that? Okay, so we performed expositions on the evangelistic sermons in the book of Acts. Now, in this service, you know, we're done with Acts, right? Okay, now in this service, we move on quickly to the epistles. Praise the Lord. Okay, to examine the revelation there about missions. Okay, now the epistles were written during the church era. Follow that? The epistles were written during the church era, okay? So while the book of Acts deals more with the history of missions, the epistles cover the doctrine of the same. Do you follow that? Meaning that you will find a much fuller explanation of missions in the epistles. So the book of Acts records missionary activity. The epistles explain those activities more clearly. All right, so what we'll do in this service, beginning in this service, is that we'll begin with the Pauline epistles. Okay, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. Okay, and when we're done with those, we move into the general epistles, as they are called. Okay, the general epistles are Hebrews, James, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, then Jude. Those are the general epistles. 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, then Jude. Hallelujah. Okay, to find the revelation of God in those portions concerning missions. So begin with missions in Romans. Hallelujah. Are you ready for that? Missions in the book of Romans. All right, thank you. Now, the book of Romans is by nature evangelistic. Okay? The book of Romans is by nature evangelistic. Paul's aim in that book is to show both Jews and Gentiles that they both need Jesus for salvation. You follow that? So what we'll do is we'll examine the key text in Romans which speak of missions. So we are not looking at the entirety of Romans, okay? We are pinpointing on missionary text, mission text, evangelistic text, okay, in that book, as well as God's universal plan of salvation. So look for those texts that speak of missions and God's universal plan of salvation. So beginning with Romans 1:1. Hallelujah. Okay, the very first verse there, Romans 1:1. So as we go on, you may write these as headings. Do you follow that? So Romans 1:1 will be a heading. Do you get it? So do an exposition on Romans 1:1. Do you get it? So the explanation will be underneath that heading. Do you get it? Okay, then we'll go on and on and on like that. So please, you may turn your Bible there now. Romans 1:1. It says, "Paul, a born servant of Jesus Christ," underline born servant, "called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, And see that Paul begins the book of Romans by stating his call to ministry. Paul refers to himself as a bond servant of Jesus. That word translates the Greek doulos, D-O-U-L-O-S, which literally means a slave. The word doulos literally means a slave. It refers to one who willfully carries out the desires of another. One who willfully carries out the desires of another and is devoted to him. One who gives himself wholly to another's will. Now you know that this word servant readily brings to mind the suffering servant passages, right? Isaiah 42, Isaiah 49, Isaiah 50, Isaiah 52 to 53, which speak of the Messiah, okay, as he who would suffer as the children of God to reconcile men to God, the Messiah who saved the Gentiles. Isaiah 42 verse 1, let's see that quickly. You may turn your Bible there. Isaiah 42 verse 1. It says, "Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my elect one, in whom my soul delights, I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles." Isaiah 53 speaks of the labor or suffering of his soul. The labor or suffering of his soul. Isaiah 53 verse 11. Let's see that. Isaiah 53 verse 11. It says, "He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant, Ebed Yahweh, see that, shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." And you see that throughout Jesus' earthly ministry, we see him strive to bring people back to God. Okay, he comes to save and to seek the lost. I look at Luke 19 verse 10. Luke 19 verse 10. It says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Hallelujah. See that? You see that throughout his ministry, he goes after the lost. You know, that will be centrifugal, right? Matthew 4 verse 23. Let's see that quickly. He goes out after the lost. Matthew 4 verse 23. It says, "And Jesus went about," underline that, "went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people." Okay, you see that because of this, that centrifugal work, the lost also came to him. Do you follow that? Remember that principle. You go out, then they come, right? Look at Matthew 4 verse 24. Now this would be centripetal, right? Matthew 4 verse 24. It says, "Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him." You see that? Online they brought to him, so they came, right? All sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon possessed, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. Great multitudes followed him, underline followed him, from Galilee, from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. Now he does this as the suffering servant of Yahweh, Ebed Yahweh, which Israel failed to be. Do you follow that? Now, upon his resurrection, what does Jesus do? Jesus the Christ transfers that same title, that same duty to his church. Look at John 20, verse 21. Remember who is the suffering servant of Yahweh? Ebed Yahweh, Jesus the Christ. Okay. Now, upon his resurrection, Jesus the Christ transfers that same title, that same duty to his church. John 20 verse 21. John 20 21, it says, "So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." Do you see that? Online from house to you, okay? "And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit." Hallelujah. You see that? So what does he do? He transfers himself into his church. How? By his spirit. Come on, do you see that there? Okay, so Jesus grants his church the same responsibility to reach the lost. Okay, so the church of Christ now assumes that role of Ebed Yahweh on the earth. Do you get it? So all men who labor and strive to bring others to God are therefore called born servants of Christ. Do you get it now? Or born servants of God, Ebed Yahweh, God's suffering servants. Do you get it? Okay, Galatians 1:10. Let's run through now quickly. Galatians 1:10. That is so because Jesus has now transferred himself into those men. Do you get it? Okay, Galatians 1:10. For do I now persuade men, O God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bond servant of Christ. You see that? Now, is that the bed Yahweh? Yes. Hallelujah. Understand that, okay? A bond servant of Christ. Look at Philippians 1:1. Philippians 1:1. It says, Paul and Timothy, bond servants of Jesus Christ. Underline from bond servants to Christ. To all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Look at Colossians 4:12. Colossians 4:12. It says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a bond servant of Christ. Underline that, a bond servant of Christ greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Look at Titus 1:1. Titus 1:1, it says, Paul, a bond servant of God, underline that, a bond servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness. Look at James 1:1. James 1:1, it says, James, a bond servant of God. Someone came here and said, James Bond is in the Bible. Do you follow that? It says, James, a bond. Do you get it? Bond servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Quite ridiculous. Underline, bond servant of God and from off to Christ, okay? To the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. Look at 2 Peter 1:1. 2 Peter 1:1. It says, Simon Peter, a bond servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. Underline, a bond servant, okay? To those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Okay, so these men strive to make the gospel known which was promised in the Old Testament. Romans 1:2-4. Okay, so preachers of the gospel, those who toil to spread the message of Christ, are called bond servants. Do you get it? Okay, that term bond servant is derived from the Old Testament and is evangelistic primarily. Hallelujah. Do you follow that now? Okay, now next subheading here, Romans 1:5. Okay, or it could be an heading for you. Romans 1:5, that could be another heading. Romans 1:5. It says, are you there now? Romans 1:5. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Now that phrase, grace and apostleship, may be better read as the grace for apostleship. Follow that? The phrase grace and apostleship may be better read the grace for apostleship. You know that word and is kai in the Greek, right? Which is copulative. So apostleship explains what the grace is for. Do you get it? Okay, so Jesus granted Paul grace to be an apostle. That's what Paul is saying here. Now the word grace here translates the Greek charis. Now I told you that this word can be used in various contexts, right? Now, contextually here, it refers to a special enablement for ministry. You follow that? It is not God's kindness to all men for salvation. No. Here, it refers to a special enablement for ministry. Now, usually, when God calls a man to the work of the ministry, he gives that man ability and capacity to carry out that task. Now, that ability, Paul calls grace. Can I see your hands if you follow that? Okay. That ability, that capacity to do ministry, Paul calls it grace. Do you follow that now? Okay, look at Ephesians 4:7. Ephesians 4:7. Hallelujah. Are you there? Ephesians 4:7. It says, but to each one of us, grace was given. Underline that, grace was given. Now, grace for salvation or grace for ministry? Okay, it says according to the measure of Christ's gift. You see that? Look at Romans 12:3. Similarly there. For I say through the grace given to me. Underline that, the grace given to me. See that? To everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Look at verse 6. It says, having then gifts differing. Do you see that? Okay, according to the grace that is given to us, underline from that to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. You see that? So the grace here is for ministry. Come on, do you see that there? Look at 1 Corinthians 3:10. Similarly there, 1 Corinthians 3:10. It says, according to the grace of God, underline that, the grace of God which was given to me, underline that, given to me, that is Paul. It says, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds. Now, grace in all of this text is not God's kindness in salvation, but a special enablement given to each minister individually and in varying degrees for ministry. Do you follow that? Okay, so you can say there are two types of graces. Do you follow that? Do you get it? Okay, the grace for salvation, which is given to all men equally, right? Okay, and then the grace for ministry, which is that enablement, empowerment for ministry, for service. Do you get it? Now, that one varies. Come on. Are you following this so far? Okay, so Paul's grace was apostleship. Do you get it now? That is that special enablement given to Paul for ministry. Apostleship. Do you get it? Apostole in the Greek. That's that word. Apostole. A-P-O-S-T-O-L-E. A-P-O-S-T-O-L-E. The last E is accentuated, which means a sending away. Okay? Or a commissioning. A sending away or a commissioning. The office or dignity of an apostle. So Paul is given grace by God to go out into all the world as apostle. Do you get it now? Now why? For obedience to the faith among all nations. Romans 1:5. Do you get it? Now faith here would refer to the doctrine of faith, that is the gospel. So when Paul says, I've been sent out to make all men obedient to the faith, you can say Paul is sent out to make men obedient to the gospel. Now what's that? Obedience to the gospel. Faith on the same. Do you get it? Putting faith on the same. Okay, so this commission, you see, it is global in scope. That is, it is not restricted to the Jews alone. Paul says among all nations. You see that? All nations implies that. It says for his name. You see that Jesus had made it clear that Paul would reach out to the Gentiles. Acts 9:15. It says, but the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles. That is Paul, okay? Or line before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Paul had been sent out to the uncircumcised, the Gentiles, primarily. Follow that? Paul had been sent out to the uncircumcised, the Gentiles, primarily. Galatians 2, verse 7. Let's see that quickly. Galatians 2, 7. Please turn your Bible there. I want to see this, okay? Are you there? Galatians 2, 7. It says, but on the contrary, when they saw that the gospel for the uncircumcised had been committed to me, underline from that to me. Do you see that? Come on. The gospel for the uncircumcised had been committed to me. That is Paul. Okay, as the gospel for the circumcised, that is the Jews, was to Peter. Come on. Can we call that their graces? Do you see that? Okay. It says, for he who walked effectively in Peter, now look at this, for the apostleship to the circumcised, that is the Jews, also walked effectively in me toward the Gentiles. Do you see that? Online toward the Gentiles, okay? So that they had different graces, you can see. Peter sent to what? The Jews, okay? The Jews would readily accept Peter's ministry. Do you get it? The Gentiles would readily accept Paul's ministry. That's what he's saying there. Do you get it? 1 Timothy 2:7. 1 Timothy 2:7, it says, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. Now Paul is speaking here. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles. Underline that, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Look at 2 Timothy 1:11. 2 Timothy 1:11. It says, to which I was appointed a preacher and apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Underline that, a teacher of the Gentiles. Paul is therefore Christ's ambassador, sent forth to make the nations believe in his name. As a member of the new Israel of God, Paul's ministry does not discriminate against non-Jews. Do you follow that? In verse 14, Romans chapter 1, it says, I am a debtor to Greeks and to barbarians. You see that? I am a debtor to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and the unwise. That is, he had a responsibility. That's what that means. Okay? He had a responsibility. He was under obligation. That's that word debtor there, okay? Towards even the Greeks. Do you follow that? That is, non-Jews, to present the gospel to them. No one was left out. Hallelujah. Okay, now next heading here. Is that clear? All right, now next heading. Romans 1 verse 16 to 17. Romans 1 16 to 17. That's another heading, okay? Romans 1 16 to 17. It says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. You see that? For the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For indeed the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And you see here that Paul describes the gospel of Christ as the power of God to save all who believe. You see that there in verse 16. Now the word gospel translates the Greek euangelion, euangelion, okay, which means good news, glad tidings. Now, right from the Old Testament, God has a way of saving men. Follow that? God's way of saving men has always been preaching. Hallelujah. His message is communicated to mankind, right from Genesis to Malachi. Now, this is done in two ways, either explicitly through clear words or implicitly through overt actions. Now, the message of God in the New Testament is no different. Okay, remember, it is God's message right from the very beginning, which is to have man in his image after his own likeness. Now, this would only happen through faith. Now, the message of the gospel is God's instrument to rescue the perishing. Hallelujah. It is his power to pull down strongholds. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4. Let's see that. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4. Paul speaking there. He says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Now, where are these strongholds? They are in the minds of the unsaved. Do you follow that? The strongholds here are in the minds of the unsaved. Now, what happens with our preaching? Our preaching sets them free. Do you follow that? So, Paul pictures in the mind of the unsaved man a bondage. He calls it a stronghold. Do you follow that? Okay. Now, our preaching sets them free. Look at verse 5. It says, casting down arguments. Do you see where the strongholds are? Come on, in the mind. Arguments, right? Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You see that? Underline that, okay? The knowledge of God, bringing every thought, underline thought, into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So what does the gospel do? The gospel invades the false realities in the minds of men. Okay? False arguments, knowledge, and thoughts, and brings the mind under the influence of Christ. That is, captivity to the obedience or to the faith of Christ there. You follow that? Okay, so all of God's power to save a man is therefore in the gospel. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18. Let's see that. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18. It says, for the message of the cross, underline that, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but also are being saved. It is the power of God. Hallelujah. Online, it is the power of God. Now, this salvation, Paul says, is for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. Romans 1 verse 16. That is, there is no segregation in the gospel. Everyone and anyone who believes receives God's great salvation. Now, that statement, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. You know, I've told you, it speaks of the order, right? The chronology in which the gospel was preached. Okay? Not preference. The chronology. Okay, so the gospel was first of all preached to the Jews. That's what Paul is saying there. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. Witnessing was to begin with the Hebrews. Look at Acts 1:8. Acts 1:8. It says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me where? in Jerusalem, underline that, Jerusalem, and in all Judea, underline that, all Judea, and Samaria, underline that, Samaria. So can we say to the Jew first? Do you see that? There will be witnesses where? Jerusalem, Judea, to the Jew first. Come on. Now look at this. And Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Do you see that? Also to the Gentiles. Do you see that? So it begins in Jerusalem with the Jews. You see that the proclamation of the gospel began at Jerusalem. Luke 24 verse 47. Luke 24 verse 47. It says, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations. What? Beginning at Jerusalem. Underline that. Beginning at Jerusalem. So the gospel is presented to the Jewish people first. But what do? They reject the same, right? They refuse the same. Now that rejection opened the door for the gospel to reach the Gentiles. Do you get it? To the Gentiles also. Acts 13 verse 45. Let's see that quickly. Acts 13 verse 45. It says, but when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and contradicting and blaspheming. They opposed the things spoken by Paul. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, now look at this, it was necessary that the word of God, is that the gospel? Okay, should be spoken to you, that is the Jews first. Come on. Okay, and since you reject it, underline, since you reject it, and judge yourselves unworthy, underline that, from judge to unworthy of everlasting life, behold, return to the Gentiles. Underline that, return to the Gentiles. You see that? Okay, so because the Jews rejected that message, it goes to the Gentiles. The non-Jews, the Greeks. Hallelujah. Okay, now, this gospel which the Jews rejected reveals the righteousness of God. Paul says that in verse 17, Romans 1. Back there again, verse 17, Romans 1. It says, for in it, that is the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, the word righteousness used here translates the Greek dikaiosune. D-I-K-A-I-O-S-U-N-E. D-I-K-A-I-O-S-U-N-E. The last E is accentuated. Now, there's a bit of an argument here as to what exactly this righteousness is. You know, some theologians have opined that this word means justice here. Follow that? It means justice. Okay, so for in it, that is the gospel, the justice of God is revealed. Do you get it? From faith to faith. Now, is that right? So they opine that the gospel reveals the justice of God. Now, it is true that that word, dikaiosune, can mean justice. Okay? But now you have to ask the question, what is the main emphasis of the gospel? Do you follow that? What is the main emphasis of the gospel? Is the major emphasis of the gospel God's justice? No. Do you follow that? You find that the main emphasis of the gospel is not God's justice. Rather, it is his love. Praise the Lord. And his mercy. John 3:16, popular verse. For God so loved the world, right? And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see that? Ephesians 2:4-6. It says, but God who is rich in mercy. Online from all the mercy, okay, because of his great love, underline that, his great love with which he loved us, underline that, he loved us even when we're dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you've been saved. Hallelujah. Online from by the saved, okay, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly in Christ Jesus. So what is the emphasis of the gospel? Grace. Amen. Mercy. So righteousness in the gospel would therefore be in the context of God's mercy toward us. Okay, so the righteousness of God that Paul speaks of that is in the gospel is not God's justice. Do you get it? It's rightness. Do you get it? That's what they think that means. It's rightness. It's right way of doing things. No. No. The righteousness of God in the gospel is his way of justifying men freely. Praise the Lord. By faith, apart from works. That is the righteousness of God in the gospel. Do you get it? Not his justice. No, his rightness. No. It refers to his way of making men righteous apart from works. Do you get it now? Okay, so God treats sinful men as though they are innocent when they put faith on his son. Hallelujah. Do you hear that? God treats sinful men, guilty men, as though they are innocent when they put faith on his son. That is the righteousness of God in the gospel. Praise the Lord. Okay, so the just will therefore live by faith. Live there means to exist. So they will exist as just by faith. Habakkuk 2:4. Do you get it now? So can we move on? Okay, now next subheading there as we begin to close gradually. Are you learning so far? All right, thank you. Romans 3:21 to 30. And this is a bit long. Romans 3:21 to 30. So this will be a new subheading. Do you get it? Under Romans. So make it orderly, okay? Now let's read that. Romans 3:21 to 30. Also popular verse. It says, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law. Now, is that his rightness or the righteousness that he gives? You're quiet. Huh? The righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed. Where? In the gospel, right? It says, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. That is the righteousness he gives. Justification. Do you get it? Now, that is apart from the law. Do you know what that means? That means you don't work for it. Do you get it? The law is works. You have to do to be righteous. And it says there is a righteousness of God apart from the law. Praise the Lord. Okay, it says, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. It says, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. So this is how you receive that righteousness. Do you get it? Through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. 23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Popular verse, right? Look at 24. They stop at 23, right? No one ever goes to 24. All have sinned, fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So 24 takes care of 23. Okay? It says, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith, to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded by what law of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Is this clear? Okay, look at 29. Or is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Hallelujah. Since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Romans 1 and 2 emphasize Paul's point in Romans 1 verse 16 that everyone needs the gospel, both Jew and Gentile, because both are equally sinful, okay, and condemned in sin. Look at Romans 1 verse 18 to 23. You find there that the Gentiles were idolatrous. Romans 1:18 to 23. As we begin to close gradually now. Romans 1:18 to 23. So let me explain this to you. Romans 1 speaks of the Gentiles needing salvation. Romans 2 speaks of the Jews needing salvation. Do you follow that? If you go there and you see anything else, you've not read it properly. Romans 1 speaks of the Gentiles needing salvation. Romans 2 speaks of the Jews needing salvation. So once you go there and you see something else, you've not read those two chapters properly. Look at Romans 1 verse 18. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. How? Verse 20. For since the creation of the world. You see that? As I will show it to them, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, that is nature, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now the Gentiles. Follow that? They can't say, but we didn't have the law. Paul is saying, you had nature. Do you get it? Okay, look at 21. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, Now were thankful, but became futile in their thought, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible men. That is idolatry, right? This is the Gentiles being spoken of here, right? Okay, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. So look at this. God put his revelation in nature to reveal himself to the Gentiles. Now the Gentiles worship nature. The irony. Do you get it? He put his revelation in nature to reveal himself to man. Now the Gentiles now worship what is revealing him? Nature. When God made nature to reveal himself. Now the Jews, on the other hand, should have known better. Right? You would think because they had the law, they would have known better, right? But they are the same thing. Birds of the same feather. That's what Paul is saying here. Okay? They should have known better. They should have been good examples. But they were also equally guilty. Romans chapter 2. Do you get it now? So Romans 1 will talk of what? The guilt of the Gentiles. Romans 2 will talk of what? The guilt of the Jews. Look at Romans 2:17. This will help you when you study the book of Romans personally, okay? Romans 2:17. It says, indeed, you are called the Jews. So he switches to the Jews now, okay? And rest on the law, and make your boast in God, and know his will, and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law. That is, you know the law, right? You know God's word. And are confident that you yourselves are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and truth in the law. You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? Gang gang. Do you get it? Okay. You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? He's talking to the Jews. Do you follow that? You who say do not commit adultery, that is the Jews. Do you commit adultery? You abhor idols. Do you rob temples? You will make your boast in the law, that is the Jews. Do you dishonor God through breaking the law? Now, all of these are rhetorical questions, right? The answer is in verse 24. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written. The answer to those questions is what? Yes. You get it? So their lives were so bad that even the Gentiles mocked God. That's what Paul is saying there. When they should have known better. So, Paul's argument is this. The Jew is no better than the Gentile. Now, for all, Romans 3:23, both Jews and Gentiles, that is the all there. Do you get it now? In context of Romans 1 and Romans 2. For all there, both Jews and Gentiles, have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Is that clear now? Okay, so they both need God's righteousness. That's what Paul is saying there. The Jew is without excuse. The Gentile is without excuse. Okay? They both need God's righteousness, which was revealed right from the Old Testament and is received by faith. Look at Romans 3:21-22. Are you learning so far? All right, thank you. Romans 3:21-22. It says, but now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, that is Genesis to Malachi, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all, Jew and Gentile. You get Paul's all now in the book of Romans, Jew and Gentile. Okay? And on all Jew and Gentile who believe, on the line from through to believe, for there is no difference. Hallelujah. Okay? No difference between what? Jew and Gentile. Is that clear now? All right, thank you. So in Christ, God justifies freely all who believe. Romans 3, verse 24. Now the word freely there means without payment or merit. You follow that? Without payment or merit. Dorean in the Greek. D-O-R-E-A-N. D-O-R-E-A-N. The O after D is accentuated. So God gives the gift of righteousness gratuitously. You know, God is not obligated to do so. Okay, as payback for our good works. That's what that means. He gives righteousness freely without our good works. He's not paying you back for anything you've done. So there is redemption for us in Christ Jesus. See, there's redemption for us in Christ Jesus. Okay? Now, the word redemption there translates the Greek apolutrosis. Apolutrosis. A-P-O-L-U-T-R-O-S-I-S. A-P-O-L-U-T-R-O-S-I-S. The O after R is accentuated. Now that word means a release because a price was paid. You follow that? The word redemption, apolutresis, means a release because a price was paid. Now when you're talking about a release, you know there is a kidnapper. There are several parties to that, right? There is a kidnapper. There is a kidnapped, right? Then there is the father or the owner of the kidnapped. Now for the longest period of time, people have thought that the kidnapper was God. Okay, now there's something else there. There is a ransom paid, right? So four things, right? The kidnapper, right? Then who else? The kidnapped, who else? The owner of what was kidnapped, stolen, okay, and then a ransom paid. So for several years, folks have thought that that kidnapper was God. So you hear things like Jesus died to pay God for sins. Do you get it? He gave a ransom. Then you ask, who was the ransom given to? Said, the ransom was given to God. Someone said, everything, God carried the sword and was about to stab humanity. Then Jesus stood. Ka! Do you get it? So he stabbed Jesus and said, "Coop." So he paid a ransom to the Father. But then I thought, in a kidnap situation, it is the Father who pays. Do you follow that? Imagine a child is kidnapped and then the father is asking for the ransom. How does that make any sense? Who receives the ransom? The one who kidnapped, right? So God in Christ is the one paying the ransom. He's not receiving anything. Let me take that back. He's receiving the kidnapped. Do you get it? Not the ransom. Come on. Okay, so God in Christ paid the ransom to set men free. Who is the kidnapper? Who is the one keeping men in bondage? Sin, death, and the devil. I've told you that, right? And I told you soon, we'll add the law to that. Okay, soon. The teaching is coming, so we'll add the law to that. Sin, death, the law, and the devil. So he pays the ransom to set us free from those four. Hallelujah. Now that ransom is Jesus Christ himself. Praise the Lord. Okay, look at Matthew 20 verse 28 as we close. Matthew 20 verse 28. It says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Hallelujah. Underline ransom, okay? Now, back to Romans 3 verse 25. Romans 3 25. Now, this Jesus, God has set forth as a propitiation by his blood. Now the word propitiation is Jewish in origin. That word is Jewish in origin. It refers to the mercy seat. Okay? The mercy seat. And the mercy seat or elasterion was where the Old Testament high priest sprinkled the blood of the offering in the Old Testament. Look at Leviticus 16 verse 15. Leviticus 16 verse 15. It says, then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people, bring his blood inside the veil, do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bull, and sprinkle it on the mercy seat. You see that? That's that word, elasterion, and before the mercy seat. And he shall make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions, for all their sins, and he shall do for the tabernacle of meeting which remains among them in the midst of the uncleanness. Now the mercy seat again wasn't to appease the wrath of God. Do you follow that? That's another thing being taught, okay? That the mercy seat was where the high priest would appease the wrath of God. No, the mercy seat was to atone for the sins of men. We have an article on that, right, on our website. It is to atone for the sins of men. You know that in the Old Testament, the blood was offered to cover the sins of the people once a year. Okay, for a year. Okay, and it needed to be reapplied again the next day of atonement. You see that in Hebrews 10 verse 1. So, Jesus the Christ is set forth as propitiation because in him, the sin problem is taken care of. Do you follow that? That is propitiation. Or the mercy seat. It is where the sin problem is taken care of, not where the wrath of God is appeased. Do you follow that? Okay, so man is delivered from sin and its consequence through Christ. He is our propitiation or our mercy seat. Praise the Lord. Okay, so men find mercy and reconciliation in Christ by his blood. Now that blood refers to his very life given for us in death. Hallelujah. Look at Romans 5:9 as we begin to close. Romans 5:9. It says, much more than having been justified by his blood. Hallelujah. See, I've been justified by his blood. Okay, underline that. By his blood. It's not done. It says, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Okay, look at Ephesians 1:7. Similarly there, Ephesians 1:7. It says, in him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. See, I have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Look at Colossians 1:13. Similarly there, Colossians 1:13. It says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness. Hallelujah. Say, I've been delivered from the power of darkness. Say, I need no deliverance. Say, I need no deliverance. Okay? It says, and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Hallelujah. Okay, 14 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Look at Hebrews 9:12. Similarly there. Remember, that blood is what? Is very life given in sacrifice for us. Hebrews 9:12. Hebrews 9:12. It says, not with the blood of bulls and goats, but with his own blood, hallelujah, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Look at verse 14 of that same chapter. It says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, through the eternal spirit, offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Look at Hebrews 13:12. Hebrews 13:12. It says, therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. See that again? His blood. Look at Revelation 1:5. Revelation 1:5. It says, and from Christ Jesus, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his blood. Hallelujah. The word washed there means to separate in the Greek. Follow that? So how did he love us? He separated us from our sins through his blood. Do you get it? Okay, look at 1 Peter 1:18. 1 Peter 1:18. It says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. 19 says, but with the precious blood of Christ. Hallelujah. So that was what was paid to the kidnapper. That's what Peter is saying here. Usually, what do you pay to the kidnapper? Silver and gold. Do you get it? So it says, not corruptible things. Hallelujah. Okay? But with the precious blood of Christ, his life. That is the ransom paid. Okay? As of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Look at 1 John 1:7. 1 John 1:7. It says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah. One line from thou to sin. Okay, so the blood of Jesus is shed to cleanse from sin. Do you follow that? Not to appease the wrath of God. Okay? It is to cleanse from sin, to separate men from their sins. God was never the issue. Now, I've told you that. The issue was what? Men and sin. Now, this God did the shedding of Jesus' blood, okay? He did it to demonstrate his righteousness. Romans 3:25. Now turn back there. Romans 3:25. Now the righteousness here refers to his kindness. Do you get it? It refers to his kindness. You see that in the Old Testament, the righteousness of God oftentimes refers to his mercy. I'll give references for that now because of time. 1 Samuel 12:7-11, then Psalm 36:10. Do you get it? 1 Samuel 12:7-11, Psalm 36:10. So what did God do? He forgave all past sins. No, the issue was never with him. Okay, so he forgave all past sins. Not only that, you know, even before Jesus Christ died, he prevented men from experiencing the full wrath of sin. Do you get it? He kept men from experiencing the full wrath of sin till Jesus came. so that Jesus will take the full consequence of sin on their behalf. That is his righteousness. Hallelujah. His kindness toward man. That's what Paul is saying in verse 25, Romans 3. Now verse 26 says, Romans 3, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness. You see that again? His righteousness. Now at this present time, now that Jesus has come, he demonstrates his righteousness. That is his kindness. Now this present time is the acceptable time of the Old Testament, the day of salvation. Look at Isaiah 49 verse 8 as we close. Isaiah 49 verse 8. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 49 verse 8. It says, thus says the Lord, in an acceptable time I've heard you. Hallelujah. And in the day of salvation I've helped you. I'll preserve you and give you as a covenant to the people to restore the earth, to cause them to inherit the desolate heritages. Okay, so in this time frame, now, okay, Jesus the Christ takes all the full consequences of man's sin. God can justly declare sinful men righteous. Paul says that, Romans 3:26, it says that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Christ. Hallelujah. Okay, why can God do this? God can do this because the sins of men have already been judged in the body of his son. Do you get it? So men can go scot-free. Say, how can God allow a sinful man go scot-free? How can God justify a sinful man? God can do that justly because another has been punished in his place. That's what Paul is saying there. Is that clear? Okay? So the gospel therefore reveals men helpless and sin, and God doing all of the work. Do you see that? Who did all the work? Is God. Amen. To save that man from sin. So salvation is God's work from start to finish. See, salvation is the work of God from start to finish. See, salvation is the work of God from start to finish. You know what that means? That means no one can boast. Hallelujah. No one can boast. No one who is saved today is saved because of anything that he did. Only because of what God himself did. Verse 27, Romans 3. He says, I want you to see this. Romans 3, 27. Are you there? He says, where is boasting there? Do you get it? God has done all of the work, right? So where is boasting then? It is excluded. Any message that makes men boast is not the gospel. Do you follow that? I love how Pastor Joseph Prince says this. He says, in the end of the age, we won't be saying, what is the Lamb and me? Do you follow that? In the book of Revelation, you find them singing, right? And they say, worthy is the Lamb, right? Worthy is the Lamb. All the praise will go to who? The Lamb. Do you get it? We will have absolutely nothing to boast about. Come on, do you get it? So there is nothing like, worthy is the Lamb. No, on the last day, at the end of the age, when you think, worthy is the Lamb, they're secretly saying, and me, and me, and me. Do you get it? Because I also did something. Paul is saying that won't happen. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. Praise the Lord. Come on, do you see that there? It says, by what law of works? No, but by the law of faith. Praise the Lord. Okay, you see that the Jews who had the law of Moses never kept it. So that's why it says, of what law of works? No. The Jews never kept the law. The Gentiles didn't have a law. Right? So both of them are justified freely without any merit of their own. So boasting is excluded by the law of faith. Do you get it now? Alright, and this was prophesied by Isaiah in Isaiah 2 verse 3. Let's see that as we close. Isaiah 2 3. It says, many people shall come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law. Underline that, the law. Many people have thought this refers to the law of Moses. No. Do you follow that? Out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now the law which draws even the Gentiles is not the law of Moses. It's not. But the law of faith. That's what Paul is referring to. Do you get it now? that is the gospel. That is what will draw all men, even the Gentiles. You see that by obeying the law of Moses, no one can be made righteous. Do you follow my point? By obeying the law of Moses, no one is made righteous. Back to Romans 3 verse 28. Let's see that. Romans 3 verse 28. It says, therefore we conclude. Orotic Barry. Right? We conclude that a man is justified. A man is made righteous by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Is that clear? So justification, being made righteous, comes by faith in the gospel, not by your perfect obedience to laws. Self-effort, no. Look at Galatians 2:16. Let's run through now. Galatians 2:16. It says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Christ Jesus. Is this clear? Is this clear? So you wonder how folks can see all of this and still argue, right? I mean, this is as clear as day. It says, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith and not by the works of the law. Is this clear? For by the works of the law, no flesh there is man. It's an anecdote, okay? No flesh shall be justified. Do you see that? By the works of the law, no flesh, no man shall be justified. Look at 2 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy 1:9. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, who has called us and saved us with a holy calling, not according to our works. Is this clear? The salvation you have by your works? No. He says, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, his mercy in salvation, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. You see that again? Look at Ephesians 2:8-9. Very beautiful portion of scripture. Ephesians 2:8-9. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. Clear? Clear? For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. That salvation is not of yourself. That's what that means. It is a gift of God. Praise the Lord. Now it says, not of works, lest anyone should boast. You see that? So it's not going to be, what is the Lamb and me? Okay? It is, what is the Lamb? Praise the Lord. Because the Lamb did all of the work. Pastor Josephine says, if God wants all the glory, let him do all of the work. I love that. Right? Okay? You add nothing to his work in salvation. From start to finish, he plans it, he executes it, and he keeps it by himself. Praise the Lord. Okay, now this way, God is not only the God of the Jews, you know, by obeying the law, okay, because you know the Jews depend on the law for salvation, he's also the God of the Gentiles. Do you follow that? If only his salvation comes by obeying the law, then God will be only the God of the Jews. Do you get it? Because only the Jews have the law. But since it's by faith, everyone is allowed. Do you get it? Is the God of both the Jews and the Gentiles. Verses 29-30. Romans 3, back there again. Verses 29-30. It says, or is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm from yes to also, okay? Since there is one God who will justify the circumcised, underline that the circumcised, that is the Jews, by what? Keeping the law? Works? Self-effort? No, by faith. And the uncircumcised, underline that, the uncircumcised through faith. Underline the uncircumcised, okay? So, in Christ, God therefore has fulfilled his promise to Abraham. What was that promise, remember? To bless all the nations of the earth, right? Gentiles included. That blessing is not limited to the Jews. No, it's not. Genesis 22 verse 18. In your seed, all of the nations of the earth shall be blessed. See that? In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Now, that seed is Christ, right? Galatians 3 verse 16, you see that there. And what is that blessing? Money? Huh? Riches? Gold? Oil rings? Huh? That blessing is justification by faith and salvation to all of the nations. Praise the Lord. Okay, so God gives the nations to his son for an inheritance. Amen. Look at Psalm 2 verse 8. the nations of the earth are given to Christ Jesus for an inheritance. Psalm 2:8. Now, speaking here to Messiah. Okay, he says to Messiah, ask of me, and I'll give you the nations for your inheritance. You see that? And the ends of the earth for your possession. And you know, Messiah asked, right? How? By his death, his burial, and his resurrection. So as men in those nations believe, he inherits them. Do you get it? That is, they become his. That's what that means. Ask of me, and I'll give you the nations for your inheritance. You will own them. Do you get it? Okay, so as men in those nations believe the gospel, Jesus Christ inherits them. Praise the Lord. Okay, they become his. You see that Isaiah prophesies that the Gentiles will seek him. Messiah. Isaiah 11:10. Let's see that quickly. Isaiah 11:10. It says, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse. Who is that? A root of Jesse? Jesus Christ. Okay, Messiah. It says, who shall stand as a banner to the people, for the Gentiles shall seek him. Praise the Lord. And his resting place shall be glorious. So what has God done? In Christ, God has destroyed the separation between Jews and Gentiles. Do you see that now? That separation, he has destroyed it. Both Jews and Gentiles now stand on equal ground by the gospel. Ephesians 2 verse 13. It says, but now in Christ Jesus, you were once afar off. Who are those? Those who are far off. Let me say this to you. You and I, Gentiles. I hope you know, when you see Gentiles, that's you. Okay. If somebody, we'll forget, say the Gentiles. That's you. You're not a Jew by descent. Okay, so we can say we who are far off have been brought near. Praise the Lord. Say, I've been brought near. Underline that, okay, brought near. How? By the blood of Christ. 14 says, for he himself is our peace. Praise the Lord. Who has made both, now both Jews and Gentiles, one. Do you get it? Underline one, okay? And has broken down the middle wall of separation. Underline from broken to separation. So do you see that that equal ground is faith in the gospel of Christ? Hallelujah. So like I said in the second part of this teaching, you want to deal with racism, preach the gospel. Do you get it? There's so much clamor today about social justice, the whites discriminating against the blacks discriminating against the white. You know what puts everyone on equal ground? Preach the gospel. Do you get it? Everyone is on equal ground when it comes to the gospel. You know, when it comes to humanity, several things separate us. Some are rich, some are poor, right? Some are fair, some are dark skinned, right? Some are educated, some are not, right? So you see, there are various discrepancies, right? Differences between us. What puts us on the same ground? Faith in the gospel. It deals with every issue of segregation. So you want to deal with racial discrimination, racial segregation? Preach the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. That is God's answer to that question of social justice. Did you learn? All right, Lutherans, give him praise. Thank him. We continue from here.